I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Newton's lawyer.
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over.
Mr. Jackson,
sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today.
You hear my words?
Starring Gary Dorden from TVCSI.
This is the military, David.
G-E-R, we are much more. Still, we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, it's history, don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R, we are much more. But still, we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slave and the master. What you looking for? You the question and the answer. We trust no black leaders. Use the stove to heat us. Powdered eggs and government cheeses. The calendars with Martin, JFK, and Jesus. Gotta be fresh to go to school with fly sneakers. Schools with outdated books, we are the forgotten. Summer's cooling off by the fire hydrant. Yeah, I'm from the ghetto, with old black women talking about their sugar level. It's not unusual to see photos of dead homies' funerals. Aluminum foil on TV antennas. Little TV sit on top the big TV eating TV dinners. Girls got in here with Kool-Aid. They gave us lemons, we made lemonade. But this nigga's paid, ancestry of slaves. Descendant of kings is necessary, I blink. Put rims on everything, wear Tims on every scene. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R, we are much more. Still we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, it's history, don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R, we are much more. But still we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slave and the master. What you looking for? You the question and the answer. Do I mean it like the slave master, nigga? No, I'm gangster, gotta eat rappers. My abbreviation was young when I caught the cases. That should mean the court could see my changes. Take off the bracelets, savage went broke. Smoke sour diesel, need no Bowflex. My chest still cut up like a bag of dope. Thought patterns consist of boss matters. Spit Moses lost commandments like a gross sandwich out my mouth. Toast to government cameras, peeping us every week. I must have my cars, homes, and phones sweep for bugs. But this is what I was dreaming of. Between cutting hard coke with new razors slicing my fingers up. They used to string us up, we wanted everything. But the one bringing us cake be the snakes like the New Jack City wedding scene. No time for mistakes, trying to get it like Medellin. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R, we are much more. Still we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, it's history, don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R, we are much more. But still we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slave and the master. What you looking for? You the question and the answer. People afraid of criticism, but I always put myself in a sacrificial position. They been know I ain't just rapping for fame. I got my old homie half since the father acted for change. yup, I get a cash up. This paper don't matter. They see me from skinny to fatter. When I rap about war, they got a tendency to scatter. They ain't my backup no more. So now my enemies are at my front door. Cause anytime we mention our condition, our history, our existence, they calling it reverse racism. Still to this day the streets torn. My brother Jung, I always have a seat for him. Not behind me, beside me. You always know where to find me. They say the close ones are hurt you. So let's keep a small circle. On the road to riches and diamond rings. In the land of the blind, a man with one eye is the king. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R. We are much more. Still we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, it's history don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R. We are much more. But still we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slave and the master. What you looking for? You the question and the answer.
Welcome everyone to George Jackson University Blog Talk Radio, where our main aim is to transform the criminal mentality to a revolutionary mentality, to become a new man and become new women. This is something we must do in today's times. We got this from Comrade George Jackson, who also transformed this from Che Guevara, that idea of the new man. It's most important that we change our surroundings, but to do so, we must also change ourselves. Asante sana to everyone for listening to us today. And before we start off, I just wanted to go over some significant dates that happened in our history this week. At November 29th of 1961, the Freedom Fighters, or actually Freedom Riders, who were Freedom Fighters, were attacked by a mob in Mississippi. This happened for a couple days until like December the 2nd. November 30th was the birth of Shirley Chisholm. She passed away January 1st of 2001. In 1975, the Kingdom of Dahomey became Benin. December the 1st, 1955, Rosa Parks refused to change seats in Montgomery, Alabama. This would lead to boycotts. In 1960, Patrice Lumumba was caught in the Congo. 1987, we lost James Baldwin. He died in France. Now, December 2nd, 1823, looking at U.S. foreign policy, there was a man named James Monroe who declared the Monroe Doctrine. This doctrine was made so the United States could take control of the Western Hemisphere and block any foreign invasion, mostly foreign invasion coming from Europe. Also, on December 2nd, 1859, John Brown was hanged. Now, on December 3rd, 1847, Frederick Douglass, along with Martin Delaney, started the Northern Star anti-slavery newspaper. In 1964, the police arrested 800 students in the University of California at Berkeley. Now, recent history, 2014, was the death of Eric Garner that sparked wide protest. Now, on December 4th, 1807, was the death of Prince Hall, who was an abolitionist. Some people know him for Prince Hall Freemasonry. 1950, NAACP led protest against the movie that spread race, that helped spread racism. This movie was called The Birth of a Nation. And in 69, we lost two of our freedom fighters who were martyred in Chicago, Fred Hampton and Mark Clark. The Chicago Panther Party was known for their community programs, their free breakfast program, medical treatment. You know, they didn't charge patients for treatment, and also community controls of the police. Hampton was one of the first ones that had the Rainbow Coalition. They had non-hostilities agreements amongst the gangs there in Chicago. And on December 5th, 1955, was the historic boycott in Montgomery, Alabama, led by Martin Luther King Jr. Now, we will also bring on some of our other comrades. Comrade Ajanaku, you on the line? Ajanaku. Comrade,
can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Your mic is open, brother.
Yes, Yeah, this is Brother Mikhail Ajanaku calling from the city of Chicago. I'd like to say welcome to my fellow hosts, as well as to everyone out there in the listening audience. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Most definitely. Welcome, welcome. Is Brother Bumani on?
Yes, sir, comrade. Jumbo, Jumbo, comrade. Revolutionary Greer.
Jumbo.
Sir Jumbo.
Sir Jumbo. Free the land. You know, and I was just sitting there listening to all the story you were dropping, because it's not history, the white man and European system. So all the story that you were dropping and exposing to the people, it was very useful and, you know what I'm saying, enlightening information you presented, right? You know what I'm saying? Especially the part when we let it be known that oppression happened on a variable level when you mentioned that the name of John Brown, you know what I'm saying, who was a white abolitionist and freedom fighter. Also, you mentioned Prince Hall, who was considered the father of a black Freemason, who also was a social reformer. He was a revolutionary within his own time, within his own place and area. He was also on a revolutionary mind state, and he worked with tools that he was given at that time to try to liberate the people on an educational level and make them equal to had the same equal right that the oppressor had. I want to say free the land to all those who identify with land. Revolutionary group to all those struggling within the struggle, to intensify the struggle, had to protract the struggle, so it has the ups and downs. And so it means that everybody who's in the struggle and trying to seek the aim of the revolution should continue, knowing that to struggle, well undoubtedly, even though we have ups and downs, and continuing to put in the same work, continuing to communicate with the people, to get the people involved, in the conflict and oppression that we go through by being in America. Because like Malcolm X said, America is slavery. So that plays upon the aspects of the 13th Amendment, the abolition of slavery, Negro slavery, so to speak. When the astrology, you can get the people to buy it, but you still got their mind, so they're still in slavery. So we got to free ourselves from that mind state. By a lot of the African names, we got down to African, African brain went along with it. We not just can be the name that we have. We not just have a name. We got to be able to apply and identify and define the name that we have by our ways and actions. I want to say one call: freedom all, free all the political prisoners, free all the brotherhood behind the wall. You know what I'm saying? Because all actuality, if you're in prison in general, you're considered a political prisoner because you're receiving political injustice from the racist, fascist, imperial, the capitalist, colonialist, and government who wants to exploit every human being in the human warehouse as a form of chattel, as a form of property. You know what I'm saying? To make them animalistic. You know what I'm saying? Degrade them, belittle them, and use them as a form of capital and profit. I would like to bring on our guest, who has been a standing member of the Georgia University, and the original member of the Georgia University Radio when we first started last year. The brother has been behind the wall, you know, in their mind, right, organizing and coming up different ideas and, you know what I'm saying, and staying on focus and continue to contribute to the struggle, even though he's behind the wall. Now the brother had been released, you know what I'm saying, and right into this free world, free slavery, so to speak, and to be among us and to organize the people on the streets. I'd like to introduce Comrade Gaddafi. Comrade Gaddafi.
Yeah, right now all mics are open. So, what's Gaddafi's number again? It should be open.
Hello, hello.
Hold up.
Hello,
yeah,
hello. I think he's on the line. I hear someone saying hello. I think he's on the line.
Hello. Comrade Gaddafi, that's you, brother?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, brother. Yeah. I just call up. I just introduce you, brother. You know what I'm saying? I just introduce you. I ain't here, damn, brother. How are you, brother?
Hey, look at it, man.
Brother?
I appreciate that introduction, bro, Monty. You know, you're one of my closest comrades, man.
No doubt, brother. No doubt, brother. Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? Can you tell the guests a little bit about yourself? First, I'll start out, man. Tell a little about yourself, who you are, and you know what I'm saying, your aspect of how you got politicized, and how you got involved with Georgia University Radio and Georgia University, and you know, just a little few things about yourself. Start it off and get things popping, you know.
Okay.
Hey, Gaddafi.
Yeah, who's that?
It's Keela. I just wanted to let y'all know I was here before you started, but I just wanted to give my salutations.
Hey, Keela, what's happening?
What's up?
How you doing, sister?
I'm doing good. But, yeah, go ahead, Gaddafi. I just wanted to let y'all know I was on the line.
All right. I'm glad to know that you're here, too.
Yeah, that Kalaika.
Hey, how you doing, sister? Condolences to you. I'm really sorry for your loss.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's been really hard.
I imagine. If you need anything, sister, feel free to reach out, okay?
Definitely.
Hey, before we get to me, what happened, Keela?
I lost my sister. My sister passed away like 4 days ago. She lived a really tough street life, and, you know, she was out there in a, you know, real, real tough. And they found her. She was overdosed on black tar. Apparently somebody had assisted her in that process. And therefore, there for the ghost. And took her money with them. So she was found that way. And she was 5 months older than I was.
Wow.
I had just recently found her in 2012. I didn't know that I had a sister. And, you know, when I found that I had a sister, we instantly had this bond that was greater than most sisters that know that they had one for life. And, you know, that bond that we had, it was like all those years of us being absent from one another wrapped up into that very moment that we laid eyes. And she was so proud of me, you know, and the work that I do. She was hood. She was on the street. She stayed lit. But, you know, no matter what, wherever we go, she'd be like, yeah, this is my sister. This is my sister. She'd be on that black tower shit. You know, tell them something, sister. Tell them something. So she was always lit, and she was always fired up. And even though, you know, she had her shortcomings, my sister was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me because she showed me great compassion and great love. And you know, so, I mean, it's really rough to know that my sister is gone, you know. And I sometimes wish that I could have, you know, being a better sister to her, you know, having balance between my political work and having balance with my personal relationships with my family. You know, sometimes I find it hard to have that balance, you know. And that's been a revelation that has been revealed to me through this process and losing my sister, that, you know, I got to have that balance with family and my political life. And, you know, the African nation is my family. But sometimes when I'm engaged in what I got to do in my work, I tend to leave stuff on the back burner with my personal relationships. So it kind of burns a little bit, but I'm trying to create in myself a better person so I can, you know, have that balance.
Well, you're doing an excellent job, and we definitely value you and all the work that you do. And like I said, if you need anything, sister, I'm just a phone call away, anything at all.
Right on. I appreciate it, comrade, and I appreciate all y'all for being my family.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Kalaga. I'm definitely sorry to hear that now and here, this way.
Right. And, you know, my sister, she had three kids. I got two nieces and one nephew through my sister. And so I still have opportunity, you know, to make strong the bonds that we have, that I have with her children. So, you know, all is not lost, you know?
Right. Well, they'll definitely be in good hands, you know, with you in their life, no doubt.
Thank y'all for letting me get that off of my chest and give y'all an update and so forth. So I'm headed back to Dallas in the morning for the memorial services and so forth. And so just bear with me as I get it all together.
Oh, definitely, no. Sister. We got you.
No.
We got you.
No doubt. So it's not an issue, you know. You got to do what you got to do. You got to maintain your balance. By any means necessary, you know.
You know I'm here, Keila. I ain't going nowhere.
You got to be resilient, you know. Upright. You know, you got to be strong no matter what. You know, so this is a trying time where it tests your mentality, tests your endurance. It's testing your strength and with your weakness. So you got to balance them off.
Right. It sure does. Yep.
I understand exactly what you're going through when I lost my old goddess, my old earth, you know what I'm saying? That was some years ago. I understand exactly what you're going through. Somebody who was actually more closely to me than your sister was. So I understand exactly what you're saying, what you're going through, what you're experiencing. It's also like it's a cycle of life. So I ain't gotta die, nor something to be born. So I gotta be born, nor something to die. You know, it's a cycle. Yeah, birth and rebirth on a whole different level. It's the same thing in revolution. It's the same thing in revolution. You know, the revolution is a change. That's a change as well. Revolution is a cycle, a circle, a completion.
You know,
that is the same thing in life. Life at
right.
That perfect completion, that revelation.
Mhm. And you know, right, and you know, like, you know, from situations as such, you know, it just intensifies what we have to do, you know, changing the conditions, like what Rafiki was saying about, not only do we have to change the surroundings, but we have to deal with the internal self, you know, and we have a lot of work to do, not only as organizations, not only as political parties and formations, but on the individual level, you know, a lot of our people deal with certain sicknesses and stuff that has been put out to, you know, to this genocide, you know. And so when we deal with drugs and alcoholism and domestic violence and all of these things that plague our communities, you know what I'm saying, we must deal with them on the individual level and the collective. But there's so many things out there that is hindering us, you know, and we just got to be mindful that as organizers, you know, we got to tap into every aspect of those things, you know, looking at the drug epidemic, you know, and how it holds people.
True.
It holds people, you know.
But
it has it takes a hold on them, you know.
True indeed, because if you look at it, they always screaming, and the system always screaming a war on drugs. How can it be a war on drugs when we don't have access to any lab? We don't have access to any fields of all these drugs, you know what I'm saying, growing it naturally. We don't have access to Nazi helicopters and planes and submarines. You know, it's all the wall drugs it is, what you're talking about. It's a conflict that basically that they don't put a lot of drugs in the neighborhood. And now our people, a lot of new Africans have taken advantage of what they don't put in the neighborhood to make ends meet. And that they want to control the capital of that also. That's the only war on drugs that they have. But before, other than that, you know, all that was utilized to decrease our population, new African people, along with other situations down clouded up and machinated in mind, you know, and try to destroy us, try to uproot us from civilization, but it's not going to happen. You know, he can't get rid of melanin. He can't get rid of the darkness, the blackness, the Africa. He can't get rid of us, you know. We found we everlasting like y'all.
Yep, that's right, you know. So, and the other aspect of it, you know, that's intensified is how we have to make sure that we understand and relay the importance of life, the value of life, you know, and in regard to other human beings, you know, how he left my sister there and took her money because he probably was looking for his next hit, you know. But just the regard for human life and the value of it, we have to keep reiterating, you know, how important it is. And we live in a society where one individual has been taught to not give too much thought about the next person's livelihood. You know, everybody have this mentality of just do for self, do for their own. And a lot of times when people have that mentality, you know, they just don't care. And a lot of people lose their life just for somebody else to have self-gratification for their own, you know. So principles and morals and instilling these into our youth, into the people around us, we must be that example, you know, in every way. That's the only way. But, I'm done with my spiel.
Yeah, Gaddafi, you can go ahead and continue, brother, what you were saying.
Well, I guess that I just pretty much pick it up from right there. I mean, it's all kind of in the same, ball field as far as the whole reason. I mean, why I've been away this whole time and whatnot. I mean, everything is all interconnected. I mean, whether it's us going to jail, going back to the cage, losing our freedom, or whether it's us being assassinated, I mean, whether it's directly by another individual, whether it's indirectly by the conditions that are created by these same people that are locking us up and putting us in these cages. I mean, everything is interconnected and everything is part of this one united struggle. And, you know, I just get right to it. I mean, I put it like this, right? The majority of everybody that's in prison now, right, a high majority is all poor, first and foremost. After that, they all third world people, mostly Africans. A high percentage of that, the Africans, is all from drugs, whether they selling it, whether they using it. Most that's in jail that got the most time, it's probably for selling the least amount of drugs or because they have a drug problem, which is a medical issue and not a criminal matter. And I can go on and on about all the injustices of the system, and I can go on and on about all of the crazy things that happen behind the wall. But at the end of the day, what everything really comes down to, you know, the true meaning of this whole struggle, you know, being interconnected, is that we have to be in control of the factors that determine the quality of our life. I think that, you know, everybody that studied the dragon will probably remember him saying that. And, I mean, what that means to me, you know, being in control of the factors that determine the quality of our lives, the social institutions that are in our community, we don't have control over. Point blank, period. I don't care whether it's school. I don't care whether it's health. I don't care whether it's the courts. I don't care whether it's jobs, whether it's businesses, whether it's the army. It don't matter. We don't have control over it. And until we have control over these factors that determine the quality of our lives, I don't think that we can reasonably expect any drastic, or I won't even use that word, I'll just say any necessary change as far as what needs to happen in our community and amongst our people. When I say our people, I'm not talking about just Africans. I'm talking about third world and poor people all over this globe, because we all share a whole lot more in common than we have different, you know. And one of the strongest weapons of our enemies is keeping people ignorant of that fact, and not just that fact, but that critical fact, that crucial fact that actually unifies us all in this struggle, and I think is the real true source of all of our power that we do have and that we could have, you know. When we're talking about people that are a little more politically conscious than the rest of us, I mean, you know, Bomani said something when he first came on, was basically like, tell everybody something about yourself. I mean, I'm sure y'all could probably tell the spot of where did I talk, you know, excuse my language for anybody, you know, but I'm kind of like a street nigga, you know. I mean, I came up in the street. Anything you can name, I done did it, I done been through it, and, you know, I done been in jail hella times for it all, you know. So, I mean, I kind of know what it's like on the outside in every kind of way and on the inside in every kind of way. I've been to the county jail, all the way to the federal prisons, all around this entire country. And I've learned a lot, you know, along that whole journey, you know. And if anything that I can say that I've learned, you know, anything that I've actually gained from that experience is that one principle right there, which is that until we control the facts that determine the quality of our lives, we cannot expect any realistic or any meaningful change. And I mean, a lot of us really don't want to accept that. A lot of us, I guess, you know, like to say that other tactics can can work, or, you know, we can use other strategies, or everybody got their own idea. Everybody got their own opinion. But I'm going to keep it 100, right? I mean, I'm a little upset. You know, when is it going to come time for men to stand up, be men, women to stand up and be women, and keep it real, and just say that none of this shit is going to work unless we do simply what needs to be done? All of us possess the capability of looking at our situation, our concrete situation, objectively. We can all analyze objectively. We can all observe empirically. We all have this ability. Not only do we have this ability, but a lot of us have a heightened ability to be able to do these things. So when we do this, when we simply observe things empirically, when we simply analyze things objectively, when we look at our concrete situation and we keep it real with ourselves and we keep it real with each other, we got to kind of start from where we got to start from. I'm going to give an example with my own personal situation. You know, me going to the joint and whatnot, it was a whole, you know, I don't want to say too much about it. It's still an open case. I'm out on bail right now. But, you know, it's supposed to be some kind of investigation or something like that. And, you know, they claim they can, you know, do all of these different kind of crazy things, basically whatever they want to do, you know, get warrants, get indictments for anything that they so choose. I mean, I was powerless, against this system myself. There was nothing I can do when they threw a grenade at my door and blew the door off the hinges. There was nothing I can do when there was 5 or 6 or 7 different task force and ABC alphabet gangs that came kicking in my door. There was nothing I can do when there was 20 different officers that came in with M16s and military fatigues, you know, threatening to blow my brains out. You know, there was very little that I can do about that situation. Very, 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 very little I could do about that situation. You know, when they decided to put me in handcuffs, you know, I didn't want to put me in no handcuffs, but there was very little I can do about that situation. When they put me in that squad car, I didn't want to go in the squad car. I didn't want to take that ride to the police station. There was very little I could do about that. When I was in that cell, I wanted to get out, but there was very little I could do about that by my own self. And there's so many different people that was in that same exact situation. I mean, if I just think to the, like, to the exact time, it was the day before my birthday. It was early in the morning, obviously. There was probably a million other people, thousands of other people throughout the whole country, probably throughout the whole world, that was experiencing exactly what I was experiencing at that very moment. And I bet you every one of us probably felt the same exact way, absolutely powerless. So how is it that we can all be sharing the same situation by the same people, the same structure? They're not hard to see. And all of us are dealing with our situation like it's our own private problem. Now, this isn't to say nothing to nobody individually, including myself, right? Because we all poor people, you know what I'm saying? But I couldn't make bail myself. People that love me, people that genuinely care about me, that would give anything for me, they couldn't make bail for me. Even some of the comrades that's on the phone right now that genuinely love me, that genuinely care about me, thought about me every day, they couldn't do nothing about that. They got to feed themselves. They got to feed their family. They got kids. They got bills to pay and all that. So a situation that we all share and all of this pain with, and what is being done about it collectively in a realistic way is what I'm really trying to say, though. I'm not talking about
you
nobody
out,
marching. Say what?
No, I was going to say, sorry to cut you up, but you bring out a super important point, what you just said. And this is something that I've been trying to get across to people for a long time. You know, a lot of guys, you know, guys are calling themselves black militants, they're all into the history, which we should be, all into the cultural aspect, but we should be. But people are forgetting the resource aspect. Like you said, no one can come get the bail for you. You know, we as a people really need to start having our own means of generating wealth, not wealth for material sake, but just for, like you said, for bail money, for legal fees. Because like you said, if we had it, you know, we'd all be at your side. But how many of us have it? A lot of us don't. A lot of us are just barely above water now, but we have all this information. But without the resources to back us up, like you said, we're powerless. We're helpless. And that's something, I'm not sure the best way to do that, but that's something we do definitely need to start directing our attention to, is how to generate resources by ourselves for ourselves.
I definitely got something for that. And
okay.
You know, you're 100% correct. You know, and it comes down to like this. If we get back to the root of this whole situation, which is control of the factors that determine the quality of our lives, of our destiny, right? We can narrow it down to these very specific situations. And I'm going to get deeper into this as this whole conversation goes on. But just to touch on what we already been talking about, bail. Now, I don't know the exact number, but I think I heard Farrakhan or somebody talking something about that there's like damn near a third of $1 trillion, or like a half $1 trillion or something like that, that's generated just by the however many million black people that they are just in North America alone. This ain't talking about Central America, South America, everybody else around the whole globe that's poor and that shares in the same exact problems. With all this money, what's being done with it? All that resource right there, I mean, what is it resourcing? I mean, what is it going to? What is it fueling? What is it being used for? Why isn't it being used for that same person that's putting all that money in, whoever's putting it in, when their little brother's in jail or their father's in jail or somebody got to pay for somebody's funeral somewhere? Somebody got to go to school. Somebody got some need some kind of operation. They sick. Somebody need a job. Somebody trying to open a business. Somebody want to build a park for some kids. Whatever it may be. You know, there's ways to do that. And, you know, I'm going to use this, right, as something that we can apply to everything, not just this one thing, but to everything, right? If we use this principle right here of basically studying history, societies, individuals, the pros and the cons, what worked and what didn't work. It don't matter if it's 1,000 years ago. It don't matter if it was 5 minutes ago. We can study people, poor, rich, black, white, all that, from all around the world, all throughout history, and I guarantee you that we will find certain guiding principles that you can apply to almost every aspect of life, and it's going to stabilize you and your group of people to where y'all need to be at. It's almost like how everybody got a heart, how everybody got a brain. I mean, you know, if you, you know, a human being, know what I'm saying? This is something that's like an organ in society. If you don't got that, like if you don't got your heart, your ass is out of here. You're gone. You're dead. And we can look at our community, not group people the same exact way. As long as we don't got these organs in our society, just like we got these organs in our body, somebody put a bullet in your brain, your ass is out. So right now, we kind of got a whole bunch of bullets in these brains that we're supposed to be having inside of our communities or amongst our people. And, you know, the real sad thing about it is this. I mean, I think it's not so much that that's the case, because we all know that that's the case. We've been knowing it for hundreds of years now. You know what I'm saying? It's the fact that we don't do nothing about it, nothing meaningful. Like I'm saying, the march of protest, everything like that, like, I guess that's cool, that's all right, whatever. You know, I mean, you doing something. I ain't taking nothing away from nobody that's trying to contribute something. I mean, that's cool. But like I said, we got to start keeping it real, because can't nobody look into my eyes that got a full brain and tell me that this is what needs to be done. If they got common sense, can't nobody look into my eyes and tell me that, yes, this is exactly what needs to be done. This is going to fix the problem right here.
Parcel, Comrade Gaddafi. Okay. Now, I'm listening to what you're saying, brother. So you're speaking about a plan, aspect of talking about a program. What actually do you propose to make the condition better, to organize the condition, or reorganize or rebuild on the condition of ability? What do you actually propose? What are you actually saying? What do you have to present to not only the co-host tonight, to present to the listeners as well, to present what ideas you had to present to us, for our own evaluation, for our own consolidation, for our own aspect of assimilating in our mind? What do you got to present to us? Do you have anything written down, nothing that you want to read? Do you have any ideas in your mind that you want to present to us, that you want to go over with us and see what our thoughts are on the situation? What do you actually have right now at this moment?
Hey, Bomani is one of the smartest and smoothest brothers that I know, man. He knew how to get that up out of me real quick, man.
I agree.
Check it out, man. I got two things, all right? I'll say this, right? Political parties. People been forming political parties ever since they've been people. Whether you want to call it a clan, a tribe, you know, a fraternity, an order, whatever it is, people been ganging up, you know, to basically try to increase the quality of their conditions since there have been people. So we got political parties, you know, these instruments, you know, these people that are unified, that are using their unification, that are using their cooperation as an instrument, you know, to wield their collective power, you know, with another group of people, another community of people, you know, whether you want to call it a government, country, nation, state, whatever. So we got this group of people that we'll call a political party. We have several of those right now if we want to talk about New Africans or blacks or poor people just within North America, because we'll deal with that right now. And we've had it for a long time. You know, we can go back to, you know, when we had, like, you know, the comrade was saying earlier, you know, with all these freedom fighters and whatnot from Nat Turner to Denmark, Vesey to Dessalines to Toussaint Louverture, all that, they all had their own movements and whatnot. You know, so in our age, you know, we got GJU, you know, we got the New Black Panther Party and all that, right? What we got to do is this. It's almost like if we at war, right, and we got a sword, we got to make sure that it's sharp and that it's ready to go. I mean, if that weapon isn't sharp the way that it needs to be, it's not really going to do the job that it needs to do. And not only is it going to do that, but you got to remember at the same time, we at war and our life is on the line here. So it's extremely imperative that this sword be sharp and that we know what to do with it, that everything is in order with it. So let me say this. For example, with the New Black Panther Party, doing wonderful things, you know, for the people all throughout the nation and all throughout the country, right? If we're going to be realistic and, you know, we want to be able to identify, you know, all of the good things and improve on them and make them better, but we also have to be realistic and identify, you know, some of the things that we may not do so well or that we could improve on and make better, especially because it's so necessary. If we have an organization like this, we have to look at our situation objectively as far as what is the purpose of this party? What is the purpose of this organization? What is it designed to do? Once again, we get back to if we study history, if we study human beings, groups of people throughout the entire world. What was the purpose of all these groups of people, of all these other political parties? They wanted to found their own state. That's why they formed a political party. They wasn't getting justice wherever they was at. Life was real fucked up wherever they was at. Nothing was right wherever they was at. It got to the point to where people said, look, yo, we got to come together. We got to cooperate with one another because we can't live like this. I was talking with the comrades earlier, and we used the analogy. We was kind of laughing about it. We said, man, you know, it seemed like new African people, black people, and poor people in this country is like this. We go into the same grocery store every day that ain't got no food in it. We might find a piece of some cheese or some little meat or something like that on the floor once a week, but we starving, walking around this broke-ass grocery store every day, knowing we're going to get the same exact result every day. Scraps, can't survive. This ain't what life is about. We miserable. And we know goddamn well that 100 miles away, they got a beautiful supermarket, got everything we could possibly need, all kind of mangoes, tomatoes, anything you could possibly desire. We got it there. But nobody want to go way over there to get it. We're going to keep going to the same exact broke-down grocery store that got nothing in it. So, I mean, I say that just to say that what's being done apparently, obviously, from the results, from the outcome, is not what needs to be done in order to achieve the goals that we set for ourselves, for each other. I can even use my own personal situation as a perfect example once again. You know, I'm sure that everybody from GJU would have loved to see me home for a whole year. I'm sure that everybody would have loved to see me home. But for whatever reason, whatever was necessary wasn't there. Because if it was, it would have happened. That's where the proof is at. It would have happened. Everybody want to be free. But what has actually happened that needs to be done for people to be free? If we study other people who were at one point not free, and at some point they became free, somewhere in between that, they did something that needed to be done in order to achieve that goal. It's quite simple, actually. If we simply analyze our situation objectively, guaranteed that we'll be able to see exactly what needs to be done. Now, I've done a little bit of that as far as a political party and as far as what we can call, you know, the New African State or the Republic of New Africa or whatever, any other name anybody else want to come up with for it. That's all up for discussion. But point blank period, the bottom line is this. We all want to be free. We all want to have control of the fact that determine the quality of our lives. We all want to be able to live well. We all want to be able to realize the fullest potentials of all of our human qualities. We all want to be able to pass on all this greatness to our children and see them be able to build on that for eternity. We cannot do that here in America. I think that we all know that. They're killing niggas every day in the street. I just watched a video the other day. It was some, you know, elderly man. I guess they said like he had some kind of mental problem, something like that. But the man was way across the parking lot. About 10 or 12 pigs shot this man 47 times. They lined him up and blasted him away, blew him away 47 times. I mean, this is the kind of place that we live in. They killing little kids. And they getting off the hook, too. So we see what the system is all about. When somebody tell me, you know, that, you know, we can still be free here and, you know, we can assimilate and we can integrate and all this and all that, I mean, I keep it 100, man. I wouldn't even want to. And to be even more frank with it, I don't think that the ancestors would want us to either. I know goddamn well that, you know.
I'm gonna look at things like you said geographically, right? The system had been pressing every country, right? No, every continent, so to speak. The Africans, the Asians, the other people aspect. You know what I'm saying? We look back into the concept of Marcus Garvey, we said bad the African movement, right? But he also stated that everybody that wasn't going to go back to Africa, everybody wasn't going to be settled in Africa as well. But you look at it from the aspect of a military aspect, you actually don't have to go back to Africa to be in that mind state. And also, you know, if you look at the aspect of what identify with land, now the Republic of Africa, now the Republic of Africa, we basically identify.
Let's make that clear. I'm with that.
We base identify, you know what I'm saying, the Black Belt, you know what I'm saying, as our homeland, you know what I'm saying, which is Georgia, North Carolina, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, right? You look at those five states, you look at the history of so-called Negro slavery, and the so-called, you know what I'm saying, colonialism, and the majority of the population of people in those states are people of African descent, right? And according to international law, if a people had dominated land so long and taken care of it, and you know what I'm saying, did everything they needed to do to the land, international law upon the United Nations, the land actually belonged to us, right? But due to the fact that a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, refuse to unify and come to a level of solidarity within themselves, we still continue to receive the oppression and suppression that we've been receiving from the state for so long. We still continue to see it. And a lot of people get locked up. People get discouraged. You know what I'm saying? The molds for political education and training, physical training, is not there. So, you know what I'm saying? Where I look at it, I look at it, you know what I'm saying, that we got to intensify ourselves on all levels of aspect. Like spoken earlier, saying that we need to get ourselves, like I was saying, we need to get ourselves out of the together. We need to get ourselves together. You know what I'm saying? We need to get ourselves together and better conduct ourselves so we can be examples. You know what I'm saying? Not only just speaking in philosophy or speaking politics, we gotta put this everything into focus and into practice and apply it into our life, apply it to our community. You know, we gotta start. You know what I'm saying? Cause you look at all the organizations. You know what I'm saying? From RAM, the original Black Panther Party, Public New Africa, New Black Panther Party, you know, the N-Cobra, New African People Organization, all these different formations, they start off as small people, as small circles, like steady groups, so to speak. And then they all became large mass organizations with different purposes. You have some people who identify with land. Some people identify as look at land as being the base of independence because, looking at it from a nationalist standpoint, you gotta have something to identify yourself with in order to get some kind of sovereignty, to get some kind of government, to get some kind of power, rule, and authority. But you look at it from a different level of revolution, you have some people that really don't want to see the system as it. They want to destroy the system, but they don't have no plan to build another system up after they destroy the system and keep us oppressed. So it's a different point. It's a lot of different views, right? But one thing I do know is that we all identify with liberation. They want to be liberated. You know what I'm saying? We want to be liberated physically, well, and mentally. We want to have economics. We want to have jobs. We want to have, you know what I'm saying? We want to have land. We want to have property. We want to have school. We want to be educated. We want to have weapons. We all identify with that freedom because of the natural state of mind.
I'm with all that 100%, comrade. You know what I'm saying? I'm definitely with all that 100%. And here's why I stand with it. I affirm everything that you just said 100%, absolutely and completely, as far as the whole RNA and as far as, you know, everything that you just touched on there, you know. And like I said, you know, I got a little something on that. I guess you can say it's almost like somewhat of an improvement, you know, upon everything, you know, that you just stated, you know, and I'll use the same concept that I use as far as a political party. When we look at government and we look at nations and we look at states, right? If we analyze everything that's going on right now in the modern world, everything that's happened in entire human history as far as nations, as far as states, as far as the governments and all that, once again you'll see that all those social institutions that you just named, whether it was weapons, whether it was healthcare, whether it was education, no matter what it was that these people gained control over these social institutions that was the fabric, that was the structure, that was the lifeblood of that actual nation, of that actual state, of that actual republic. Now, what I'd like to do is this right here, right? Let's take a look at what has and what hasn't the RNA, since we're going to identify here with, you know, with nation, with state, with government, what has and what hasn't the RNA done in order to be able to achieve those goals right there? And when we're looking at this, let's look at it objectively, and let's keep it real. And let's look and let's see if what needs to be done is being done. You there?
Yeah, I'm listening to you, Conrad.
All right. You know, let's look at our situation objectively, and let's be honest about it, and let's see if what needs to be done is being done. We study our situation, our condition. And we look around the world, and we look throughout history, and we study their situations, and we study their conditions. We're going to see certain guiding principles that can be applied, that not only can be applied, but that need to be applied, that must be applied, or otherwise it won't work. It's almost like if you're trying to walk without putting one foot in front of the other. I mean, it just don't work like that. It just don't go that way. That's not how it's done. You got to do what needs to be done in order to get to where you're trying to get to, point blank, period. So I think I know. That's where we really got to start at if we're talking about building a state and we're talking about an actual Republic of Nebraska and all that. And practically speaking, I'm 100% with the RNA right there in the five states in the South, you know, and I'm not just with that theoretically. I'm not just with that idealistically. I'm with that realistically, you know. I'm with that practically, and we talk about that. We're talking about international law here. You know, we're talking about the rights of colonialized and displaced people throughout the world and the rights that you have after you win. You know, we're talking about international laws on wars of national liberation against colonialism and for self-determination and independence. You know, we're talking about international laws such as the International Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide. These are matters that belong in the international court. You know, I believe that the Black Panther Party had some kind of plebiscite or something like that going, but I don't know if too many people really knew about that. You know, I mean, we got to get into things like the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights and the International Covenant on Economic and Social and Cultural Rights. You know, these are things, these are tools, these are weapons that's going to get us to where we got to get to. This is what needs to be done. When we look at Kosovo, you can look at Israel if you want. You can look at Palestine if you want. You can look at the Czech Republic and Slovakia when they split. I mean, you can look at East and West Germany when that happened. You can look at the USSR when that all split up. There was ways that every nation has gained its independence when it was oppressed from another nation. And there were global allies that supported these independent peoples, these independent nations, in achieving their international human rights. And this is the way that we have to start to think. So when we're talking about a government, when are the people that are a part of this government going to start functioning like actual government officials? If you're the foreign minister of a government, you need to be meeting with other foreign ministers of other governments and doing the business of a foreign minister. If you're going to claim that you're the president or a prime minister of some kind of republic or some kind of state, you need to be conducting yourself like a president and like a prime minister. And just to keep it 100, I'm not really trying to hear what nobody's talking about. When I see what's being done, then that's when we can deal with that situation. But I don't see nothing happening. The same way how when I was sitting in prison, I mean, everybody can say whatever they want. At the end of the day, though, I'm still here. Ain't nothing moving. Ain't nothing happening. When we talk about doing something about people that's going to jail, about people that's dying and all that, I mean, it's sad to hear it, but what's being done? Who's really doing something that really, really means something? And I can't do it by myself. Like I said, I'm sure that everybody on an individual basis probably wants to see all of these things happening. But who is really willing to, able to, and actually going to do the things that need to be done in order for these things to happen? The Elder Conrad spoke about resources. Bomani, you just spoke about economics. So what does it take for people to understand that, okay, an economy, you need what? You need currency. You need product. You need to manufacture it. You got to distribute it. You need people to consume it. So on and so forth. You need commerce. All that. All of these different elements, you know, all of these different ingredients, you know, to make this meal. When does the time come
for the people that are responsible, and I'll say the vanguard, I'll say those that are politically conscious, you know, when is it come time for us to really sit down at the table, and I'm just going to keep it 100 and stop bullshitting, because we really can't say nothing else. And I include myself. Whatever everybody's doing on their own individual basis, that's their own business. But bottom line, whatever we're doing together, it ain't working. Can't nobody tell me that it is, because it ain't. So I don't say that just to say it, just to talk about it, but I say it so that way we can begin the conversation, and I mean the conversation with the intent of actually acting upon what we discussed.